How great thou art. Amen. Beth, you be ready for the close of the service. Is that enough notice? Amen. All right. And you know, if y'all don't smile while I preach, I'm calling y'all out next. Praise the Lord. I'm coming down here tonight. Today, I'm looking for a little participation, you know, in a church service. You know, a lot of times people think a church is a spectator sport where you just go sit and watch somebody else. Now, today, I think we'll participate a little bit. You know, I want everybody to take part in this. I got thinking, I was sitting here on the front bench, and one day years ago, I was pastoring another church at that time, and things kept happening in the back. My wife kept having to go up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle, and somebody kept looking at her. I said, oh, she just got a new dress. I'd made about 4 or 5 trips, and I got thinking that y'all might be looking at me think I got a new suit. I hadn't. I've had it for a long time. I just, I got up here and I forgot my Bible, and then I forgot my glasses, and then I forgot my speakerphone, and then I got thirsty. So, you know, I made 4 or 5 trips up and down the highway, praise the Lord. But, you know, I got thinking about that. I thought, what a blessing it is that we have a freedom that we can fall out and walk in the aisle. Nobody thinks nothing about it, right? Amen. So anytime you need to come down here and pray, just fall out and walk in the aisle. It walks just as good as anywhere else. So, good to be in the house of the Lord. I was thinking about at the end of this week. You know, it says that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, that's a statement. And I thought, hey, you know, why are we so distressed and carried away about some things when we know nothing's impossible with God? I was thinking about, we sing that song, How Great They Are. We don't really know. I think that's a question. I don't think we can truly comprehend the greatness of God. I really don't, because our mortal minds retard us to the point that we just can't understand. But He can take a tragedy and turn it into a miracle. Y'all ever thought about that? He can take the impossible and change it to possible. And I got thinking about all week about the power and the ability of God. And it always comes to my mind, maybe this is pastor-oriented, I don't know. But when I think about the things that God can do, I start looking in our community, thinking about our family and our friends that need to be right with God. And it's a possibility. I'm going to preach today, and I'm going to tell you, with all my heart, I believe, as long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as I got breath, there's hope. People can change. And we're going to talk today about who can change and the possibility of that. But all things are possible with God. Now, I want you to look with me in Jeremiah, if you will. Turn over there with me just for a few minutes in Jeremiah, and I'll give you a reference point here. Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 26 and 27. Now, I said I want some participation in the church, and a lot of people say, well, how can we participate? I'm going to give you something, a statement from the Word of God, and every time we come to a point that you really believe God, I want you to repeat that. Say, I believe God can do it, you know. And so we'll direct this as we go. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Can y'all get that one? Is there anything too hard for me? Let's practice it one time. Look here. Let's say it. Is there anything too hard for me? Y'all got that one? You believe it yet? You need to start believing it, that nothing's too hard for God. And so I guess every time I walk around and see my hand go up, I want to hear it. Is there anything too hard for me? Try it again. Is there anything too hard for me? Okay, we're going to participate today. Everybody's going to have a part in this service. I believe God's going to work. There's no telling what's going to happen before we get out of here. I came excited this morning. I came expecting things to happen. I want to turn back a little bit, if you will, in Jeremiah in chapter 1. And I want to start talking about qualification. You know, this is all fell kind of in place this morning. My son, Jake, got up this morning and opened his Sunday school, and he talked about experts. You know, who was an expert? And he didn't have to be an expert. He said, sometimes the experts know all this. He said, but only you know what God's done for you in your life. He's talking about giving a testimony or helping somebody through a troubled time by telling them what God can do for you. Now, when we start in Jeremiah, I want you to know Jeremiah never won a popularity contest. I can read in Scripture. He was disliked. They didn't like him at all. very unpopular. And why? Because he told them the truth. Amen. Truth don't always make you popular. That's just the way it is. And you know, if we're trying for a popularity contest, I'm in the wrong business, because I've come to tell you the truth this morning. And so Jeremiah never won a contest or pleasing, but he was pleasing with God, and that's what mattered to him. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, we're going to talk about qualification just for a few minutes. Jake talked about that. He said you didn't have to be an expert. You didn't have to know all these scriptures. You didn't have to know everything in the Bible, but you had to know what God had done for you. What God has done for you. See, this is all just falling in line. God's putting his whole service in his hands to put it in line. So verse 4, it said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Can everybody think about that? He told Jeremiah, he said, "Before I knew thee in the belly, I formed thee." Now you think about that. Before his conception, God knew him. Now that's one of them times we need to say, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Y'all missed that one. Get ready now. Stay primed up. Get ready. Is there anything too hard for me? Now this is what God's talking to Jeremiah. And he said, "Out of the womb I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." And then said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now this happens a lot of times. God called Jeremiah. Jeremiah tries to disqualify himself. Y'all ever saw that happen? I see it happen on a continual basis in church. You call on somebody to do something, they say, "Well, I couldn't do that." I tell you what, I've come to the point in life I don't like to tell God no anymore, because I know the consequences of it. When you start telling God no, a lot of times that's a quick and easy answer. "No, I'm not going to do that." But that's not always the answer God wants, I'm telling you. You know, I ask a lot of times, "Well, would you help us with this? Would you help us with that?" I get no. Understand something. You didn't tell me no. You told God no. Amen. Be careful what you deny or what you say you can't do. Jeremiah tries to disqualify himself. God's going to put that straight. In verse 7, he said, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and plant." I want you to notice the order of this last verse. What does it say? It talks about over the kingdoms and the nation, and God's going to give him power. He said, "I don't want to hear anymore that you're not qualified. I don't want to hear that you're a child and can't do this." He said, "I've called you and I know your ability, and I'm going to supply what you need." And he talks about when he started touching, he put his hand on his mouth, he filled him with the word of God. I'm telling you, get out and don't have a testimony. Let God touch your mouth and then start to testify about the power and the greatness of God. We serve a God that nothing is impossible. And we're in a world that needs to hear that. From all of us as sons and daughters of God, they need to hear, "Oh, let me tell you what God's done for me." I love David's testimony. He said he wasn't perfect. Amen. None of us are. But we've all got a testimony of what God's done for us. And I'll tell you what, you may not believe it by looking at me today, but I'm on the way to perfection. Amen. I'm gaining every day. Because every day I go, I get closer to that perfection. That's when you put skin over your eyes and lay down. Take a dirt nap. You know, then perfection can come. Probably not before that, but you know, I'm on the way. All right, here's Jeremiah, and he talks about, okay, I'm not able. God says you are able. He said, "I've called you. I've asked you to do this." He said, "I don't want to hear, say not that I'm a child." Don't say you're disqualified. That's what he's trying to do. He said, "If I can disqualify myself, God might ask somebody else." If God's got a position and a job, he wants you to do it, not somebody else. Don't try to disqualify yourself. Then in verse 10, I want you to notice the procedure to go on. He talked about over the nations and the kingdom. He said to root out and to pull down and to destroy and throw down to build and to plant. Do y'all see the change in it? First off, you got to tear down some things to make room to build and plant. There's always things in our life that we need rooted out. There's always something in our life that we need to tear down that we can give God privilege to come in. When he told Jeremiah, he said, first go in and take it all away, tear it all down, destroy all that, and then said, build something new on that property, on that place where this was. And so when he started talking to Jeremiah and giving him this understanding, you got to understand in life, there's times if people are going to change and come to the will of God in their life, there's some things they're going to have to take away. Now, we're going to get into your family in a minute. We're going to talk about your people that you love in a minute. I mean, there's a lot of people that say, well, I don't know if there's any hope for mine. There's hope as long as they got breath. I'm talking about the hard thing. Is there anything too hard for me? You got that person in your life that you'd like to see saved, or that person in your life that you'd like to see repent and come back to the Lord? I can look at your faces and tell some of them, I can call them by name. Because you've asked me about praying for them. You've asked me about praying. Hey, let's witness to them. Let's pray for them. Let's let them tell you, see what God has done for our life. And then let's go out of here believing today. Is there anything too hard for me? If they're breathing, praise God, there's hope. Of course, they may have to tear down a little bit. May have to change a few things. It'd be well worth it. Let's talk about who can change. Let's talk about who can change. I don't think. I don't think he'd mind me doing this. JC, stand up just a minute. You want to tell them where you was 4 or 5 years ago? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I want to see them that God can change. Thank you. I wasn't doing that to embarrass him. I didn't think he'd care. He knows what he used to be. I know what he used to be. I even had people, when he first started coming here, say, what do you think about him? I said, God can use people like that. Amen. God can use people like that, you know. Let's talk about who can change. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And verse 1. Turn there with me. I want you to look at these words from God. This is God's word. I want you to see first the situation God uses sometime to influence Jeremiah. A little bit different, a little bit strange, but God uses our life and our situation sometimes to influence us so that we know what to do. In Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. Now, notice in verse 2 and verse 3, it said, I went down to the potter's house. God said, go down there, and you'll hear my words. I wonder sometimes if he hadn't went, would he have heard God? He'd have probably heard from him. Amen. He'd have probably got the results of it. But he goes down to the potter's house in obedience to God. And God said, you get down there, you're going to hear from me. In verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. A vessel marred in the hands of the potter. It was destroyed. It was distorted. It was no good. Thank God he didn't throw away the clay. The lump. God kept the lump. He didn't discard it. This potter didn't throw it away and say, it's trash, it's no good. No, God had him put it back on the wheel and remake it. That's what we talk about, this eternal life that we've got. That's what we talk about, God's forgiveness of sins. When you get put back on the wheel and God's hand begin to shape and God's hands begin to mold you into something useful. And nobody here, I don't guess, more excited than me about that God didn't throw away the lump. You think about it. In verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And he told Israel, he wasn't going to throw them away. He wasn't going to discard it. Just as he did me one day, he put me back on the wheel. He began a new work and a new life. It's called salvation by the grace of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when it begins. That's when a new life starts. That's when you really get on the potter's wheel. He didn't throw your lump away. He kept the clay because he knows he can make something out of you. How many of us here has got loved ones, and some of them will claim Jesus Christ, but I'm afraid they might hear that, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It says a tree is known by its fruit. I'm not here to judge anybody, but it says a tree is known by its fruits. Understand, I know an apple tree when I see it. I know a cherry tree when I see it. I know a pear tree when I see it. And so is Christianity. That's not what everybody wants to hear, but that's according to the Word of God. A tree is known by its fruits. And so we start thinking about our family, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, that although they might proclaim or they might profess, but we're not seeing any fruits out of them. How many of you would like to see them change? You know, that they change. You know, I think about my neighbors a lot. You know, I see them come up and down the road every day. I don't know if they even look this way anymore. They've got used to me being their neighbor, you know. And I think about so many people. I was out in the yard the other day, and I was noticing cars going by. And because I was walking out in the front, they started to notice, you know, and people would turn their head and look. I thought, we need somebody standing out there for a testimony. They'd look and see the church is here and not forget where it was. Amen? But your people, we have hope for. I've heard your prayer request. I know some of you people that would look like maybe an impossibility. And what did God say? Is there anything too hard for me? I want you to leave here today with hope and the promise of God that there's nothing too hard for Him. You got these wayward souls that you're concerned and worry about? I'm telling you, if they are saved and out of God's will, they've got nothing but a hard life. That's all it is. It's not going to be a bed of roses or easy. I liked what her sign said this week. Didn't y'all read it? They said, when life wasn't a bed of roses, remember who wore the thorns. Amen. One other place I want to look at. Ezekiel chapter 2. Turn over there with me. Who's going to reach these people? We've got out of qualifications. You don't have to be an expert to tell somebody what God did for you. You don't have to know all the scriptures in the Bible. All you have to know is God. All you have to know is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That puts you qualified that you're going to tell somebody what's happening, what God's done in your life. In Ezekiel, I want us to look about who He sent them to. Now, who's going to contact or who's going to reach your family and your friend? God may call on you, just as He called Jeremiah. It might be your position and your place to go down and say, let me tell you what God's done in my life, and let me tell you what God can do in your life. Now, I'm trying to encourage everybody. We're supposed to have a witness for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a church. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have individual witness. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1, and He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, and when He spake to me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard Him that spake unto me. And He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And so we're talking about tradition here. It, not just one generation, but He said their sons and their fathers and also their grandfathers, if you want to look back, have transgressed against God. When He started talking to Ezekiel, He said, I'm going to send you down to the house of who? Who's he going to send them to? Israel. What house is Ezekiel of? Israel. Amen. Send them to his house. Send them to his house, not somebody else's house, not some foreign nation. Now, I thank God for our foreign missionaries, but there's a greater mission here in this world, in this United States today, than you can find nearly anywhere you want to go in the world. We're a people that are misled. We're a people that our world and our government is upside down. You agree with that?
Yeah.
They'll tell you things that's good are bad and things that's bad are good. I'm telling you, they're upside down. We know goodness and bad from the Word of God. And they know it from opinions. But he said, I want to send you now to the house of Israel. And he was an Israelite. And so he's going to his house. Guess who he's going to testify to? He's going to testify to his brothers and sisters. Sometimes that gets hard. God said this has been going on. Said this is a tradition. Like Hank Williams, you know, getting drunk and singing all night long. Just a family tradition. Y'all heard that one? Well, it's time we break tradition. It might have been in your family for years. It's time to get it out. You know, I had that same situation. My Grandpa Hickson was alcoholic for years. Now, he did quit and get saved. Praise God, before he died. My daddy was an alcoholic, drunk. But guess what? I made a decision one day that if it passed me, if my kids found out and started doing it, it wouldn't be because they learned it from me, because I quit. I decided I'll not do this. I'll break that tradition. And sometimes in our families, we've got to break tradition to let God work. I could have been a drunk just like my daddy. Had a chance, had an opportunity. I thank God I made the right choice. It's about choices. It goes down. And he starts describing Ezekiel's family. Now, this is his family. In verse 4, it said, "For they are imprudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus said the Lord God." And so he describes his family. How does he say? He said, "They're imprudent children and stiff-hearted." He said, "But I send you down there anyway." He said, "I want you to go down there and say, this is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord God." And so that's where we get our power and our indication that when we're going to our own family, and everybody says it's hard to witness to your own family. Amen. Amen. You got to really get the power of God in you to do that. I never will forget when I had to go talk to my daddy about Jesus Christ. Took me 2 weeks to get the nerve. That's my daddy I'm talking to. But I talked to him. Don't know how it came out. But guess what? I'm not responsible because I did what God called me to do. Don't let some of these people pass this life and go to the grave without you telling them. Don't get that blood on your hands. We'll cover that in a minute. And it can be too. He describes his family. Sound like some of my family. Sound like some of your family. Amen. And that's being judgmental, I guess. But I know some of them. He goes farther in verse 5 and said, "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, ye shall know, yet shall know that there had been a prophet among them." He said, "I'm not going to tell you they might change. I'm not going to tell you that they might believe." He said, "But they'll have the word. They'll know somebody's brought that word of God to them." Now that's our job. You don't have to make them believe nothing. But you need to tell them. It goes farther, and I like this, verse 6. "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest well among the scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Y'all ever notice the change in facial expressions when you go into a place in a family gathering and talk about Jesus? That's usually not a conversation that's held, is it? Not always. Unless your family's different from mine. We liable to talk about anything. But you say, "Let me tell you about Jesus." I never could do it real good. My mama had a way. I knew when I displeased her, she'd twist her mouth. Only her could do it right. And I knew I displeased her. And that's what this is talking about. When you start talking about Jesus, you may get some of them looks. And God says, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Just let them look. What a look's hurt. Well, I saw a guy the other day so ugly, it kind of hurt me. He is bad, I mean. And he's trying to be too. You know why he's ugly? Because he had pierced himself all over. He destroyed himself. I won't get on that right now. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Sound like any of your folks? Sound like anybody you know? Rather not hear it. They think if they don't hear it, they won't be responsible. But they're already held responsible. They'll be responsible. Over what, about one or two pages in verse, chapter 3 and verse 18. When I say unto the wicked that thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Boy, that gets close, don't it? Guess whose blood is going to be required? If you hadn't told them, if they die in their iniquity, if they die in their sin, and you hadn't told them, they're your friend, they're your family, guess who that's counted to? It's you. You're responsible. Y'all ever had to weigh out one of them? Had ever had to carry one of them? I was working with a guy years ago, good friend. We was working every day together. He had a son, 18 years old. Kind of got out of the way on some things, and I thought one day I need to set him down and tell him about the Lord. And something came up, as always. Amen. The devil will always put a distraction, right? He'll always put a distraction in the way. Something will come up. Y'all ever try to go to the hospital and have prayer with somebody? There'll be 9 nurses come in. They'll poke them and never end they got. And you're in there trying to pray, talk to them. Well, some distraction came up, and I didn't tell that boy about the Lord. I didn't talk to him. His name is Michael. I heard the next day he got killed in a car wreck. That one's on me. I believe one day I'll give answer for that, where I failed. That's been a lot of years ago, but I've never forgot it. Don't believe I ever will, because I had an opportunity. There was an opening. There was a time, and all I had to do was say, Michael, let me tell you about the Lord. He's in trouble with his daddy. He'd been out on a drinking spell the night before, the boy had. But it had been a good time to talk to him. That was on me. And I said at that time, God help me not ever do that again. And y'all got people just like that, that it may be you to let them know about the Lord. Don't get one on your account. I got one on mine. His name's Michael. 18 years old, killed in a car wreck. In verse 19, the answer, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If you've told them, you're free. I've got a lot of people, I've done a lot of funerals that I've told them. They didn't listen. Some of them may have. Some of them may not have. But you understand. Michael's on my account. Don't let one get on your account because you didn't tell them. And God, the devil will put something in your way and try to hinder you. You just have to overcome it and continue right on. Amen. Beth, y'all come. And what are you going to sing? Musicians, if you need them. Beth's going to sing a verse of a song. I'm going to get everybody to stand up. One more time before we leave. Is there anything too hard for Him? I want you to go out of here with confidence that God could change any situation that you face. Whatever it is in your life, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, your aunts, uncle, grandparents, mama, daddy, whatever it might be, I'm telling you, God didn't throw away the lump. There's hope. As long as they got breath, there's hope that He can mold and He can make something profitable out of it. I've saw the changes in this church that I just rejoice for every day, how God took some people that I wouldn't give 15 cents for. But I'm human. God's not. He knows what you can be. Not what you are today, but what you can be.